This week I had the pleasure of sitting down with Shizuo Kuwahara. He is the guest conductor that will be leading the Knoxville Symphony in their upcoming concert this week. Shizuo, or Z as he is more commonly known, is a candidate for the music director position with the symphony. Z, thank you for joining me today. The concert will include works by Shchedrin, Tchaikovsky, and Rachmaninoff. What can you tell us about those pieces?
Yeah, this is, of course, a Russian program, and it's a lot of fun. Shchedrin's Nadi Limerick, it's also titled Concerto for Orchestra No. 1. He wrote two of them. They're both quite short, within 10 minutes or so. Shchedrin's Nadi Limerick is a piece that uses folk tunes from the countryside that makes fun of politicians in Soviet era. And of course, back then, that's a no-no. You just, you don't want anybody hearing, making fun of politicians during that era. Otherwise, your life is in line. So anyway, Shchedrin used those limericks and in the music. And in fact, he also uses a fun technique, orchestral technique. For example, in percussionists use spoons, wooden spoons to hit. It's just kind of making, like, I want this stuff, I want food, all that stuff. It's kind of symbolism. And horn players even the low brass players, they would use palm of their hand and hit it on the mouthpiece so that it makes pop kind of sound.
Huh.
And you will see strings doing hiete, which is French technique of using bow, bouncing on the string and to make a kind of an accented sound in the beginning but kind of decays at the end. And it's a scale going down, but they don't do it together. They do it all like in different timings. So there's an effect that sound is going back to the orchestra, back up the orchestras. So there are a lot of fun stuff going on in this the very short piece of Shchedrin that, it's just exciting, somewhat jazzy, and just a lot to listen for and lots to look for.
And the Tchaikovsky Piano Concerto?
Yes, that's played by Stuart Goodyear. And Stuart Goodyear and I performed together quite a bit. Last time we performed was in Japan. We did Gershwin's Rhapsody in Blue. And in fact, I'll be having him in Augusta, Georgia, where I'm music director of that orchestra there. He will be playing the Brahms Second Piano Concerto. Here, we're having him play the Tchaikovsky First Piano Concerto. Just incredible, incredible pianist. And the reason why I work with him so much is because he's my favorite pianist. And it's just incredible, just the artistry that he has. And one of the projects that he has done in the recent past is that he played complete Beethoven sonata in one day from 9 a.m. to midnight. And he just went to eat, maybe bathroom break here and there.
Wow.
And that's it. I mean, he played through that thing. I'm like, it's just no human being can really do that, but he did it. So he
wow.
did not only once, he did it several times already. So it's that kind of pianist and artistry that he has with a lot of stamina. Just imagine putting all that power into Tchaikovsky piano concerto. It's going to be powerful.
The concert will wrap up with Rachmaninoff's Third Symphony, so tell us about that.
Rachmaninoff's Third Symphony, in comparison with other pieces that Rachmaninoff wrote, most of the audience, and even musicians, are unfamiliar with this work. I would think that perhaps the most more popular music is his Piano Concerti No. 2 and No. 3. Second Symphony is very popular, and even the Symphonic Dance dances are pretty popular too. But this Third Symphony, Rachmaninoff said, he thinks this piece is his masterpiece. He was very proud of it. But during his lifetime, it was never really recognized as one of the great pieces that Rachmaninoff had written. But after he passed away, it really became popular, and now all the major orchestras perform all the time. And this piece originally was premiered by Philadelphia Orchestra under Eugene Ormandy. And I was a conducting fellow at Philadelphia Orchestra for a couple of years. And while I was there, I had opportunity to take a look at the score and a really study in depth of this music. And so much richness and just musical material that he uses in this particular piece is just incredible. And in comparison with any other pieces that he has written, it's so profound. So I thought it would be something that I wanted to bring in here in Knoxville and really show off the strength of the orchestra. I have heard the orchestra in May earlier this year, and so that orchestra is just incredible, has a wonderful musician and artistry, and we can really handle it. And this piece is something that can really show off the strength of the orchestra.
So I take it you had a hand in the decision-making process for this program.
Yes, actually, all the pieces were selected by me.
So what inspired you to pick these three? Were you just looking for a Russian tea party?
This decision of this program was long, long time ago. I would say maybe a year and a half, maybe. And at the time, all of these political things that's happening between U.S. and Russia was not happening at all. So that was not consideration of choosing the piece. So, you know, it's just funny how things turns out. But, you know, music has its own place to send messages. And it really starts dialogue about something that's very important in our life. And for me, even in Augusta, I always think about what are some concerts and programming that can make people start talking, having people come together in one place of different diversity and different background, and talk about topics in life that's very important and that can change life of others. And that's the purpose. And for me, in Knoxville, I wanted to start out with one very simple topic, with, you know, making Russian theme and working with this great, incredible repertoire. And just inspiration of music, that's profound. And just start from there, and then conversation can start any direction. And now that many things happening in the world, including terrorism, there's so much to talk about. And you know, these things are, our concert should be, of course, people should come to concert to hear music. But you know, that kind of is the gift of music can go so much farther than the experience of just being in a hall, that my hope is that will resonate throughout the community and start something that's really important within and outside of the community.
You were born in Tokyo, Japan, but you managed to end up coming here to Yale University to study. So how did you end up here? What brought you to America?
When I came to the States, I was still 10 years old. And it was because of my father's job. At the time, this is 1986. And so all the companies in Japan were sending their employee to America. And I was one of those family who was sent to America. And we lived in Connecticut. My father commuted to Manhattan. And eventually, we moved to Houston, Texas. And then he left work with a Japanese company and became an employee at the German company and went to Detroit. And that's where they reside currently. And so do we, actually. We also, my family and I, my son and my wife, live in Detroit as well. So the pathway started very young, at 10 years old. And then lived in those cities and went to Eastman School of Music and then Yale, as you mentioned. And then started working mostly on the East Coast of the America. American University, became professor there. That was my first gig. And then assistant conductor at the Virginia Symphony, which also became associate conductor there. And became professor at the College of William Mary. And Philadelphia Orchestra as a conducting fellow. And currently I am the music director of Symphony Orchestra Augusta in Augusta, Georgia.
What instrument did you start out with that eventually led to you becoming a conductor?
That's always a fun question for me to ask the musicians and audience, because I always want people to see the work first and then have them guess what my main instrument is. Usually they never guess what my instrument is. I studied saxophone and I have a degree in saxophone performance and also music education degree from Eastman School of Music. And of course, undergraduate, you can't study conducting yet. That's how it all started.
So how did you make the leap from being a saxophone player to then conducting symphonic ensembles, which more often than not do not include a saxophone in them?
I was never intending to become a musician when I was young, even to the high school. I wanted to become an architect. And by the time I was going to graduate high school and deciding on college, I still didn't speak English very well. And I thought, with my design in architecture, how am I going to be able to convince people that my design is great without being able to speak English? So at the time, I was playing saxophone, played pretty well, and kind of escaped into music world thinking I don't have to speak a word of English and wanted to become a jazz musician. And then went to college at Eastman School of Music and heard the orchestra for the first time in my life. And they were playing Rachmaninoff's Second Symphony. And there's third movement of that symphony has beautiful, beautiful clarinet solo with underline of the string playing beautiful lyrical line. And wow, I was just just astonished by the sound, and I'm thinking, wow, I want to do that, but what am I going to do? I play saxophone. I can't all of a sudden become professional clarinetist or become a string player. What am I going to do? Ah, I'm going to become that guy who's waving his arm. That looks fun, and I think I can do that. Truth be told, well, now I had to speak English more than anybody else in the music world. So, you know, it's interesting. Once you find something that you're so interested in, and work becomes so easy. And then now I can speak English better, at least, than I used to speak. I hope people can understand what I'm talking about.
So which composers are your favorites to conduct?
Oh my gosh, Rachmaninoff, all these Russian composers, great composers, Prokofiev. And also music of Bruckner has touched me because religiously, I am not really affiliated with one particular religion, but Japanese by default has some background in Buddhism and Shinto. I was so interested in Christianity and wanted to become Christian, but it's very difficult for ones who has that background in Buddhism and Shinto to switch over to that kind of spirituality. Only time when I think I can come close to speaking or actually hearing the voice of God is when we're performing music of Bruckner, Anton Bruckner. Because Bruckner was such a religious man, and his music, it just speaks for itself. It doesn't have any programmatic story behind the music. It's just pure sound, and you have to interpret that and really hear what it's trying to tell you. And that's very inspiring, and it's nothing else that speaks to me as much as Bruckner. But, of course, that has a lot of association with Wagner and Mahler, and it's just on and on. You know, the question about who your favorite composer is.
You could go on for days.
Yes, for days. And, you know, and you can play piano, and I'm not a great pianist, so I oftentimes play music of Bach, and then Bach was, wow, great, great. I mean, he is the father of music, really. Once you discover that simple things are not that simple, It's quite a big discovery. So too many composers to name. Okay.
You're a candidate for the open music director position with the symphony. Why do you think you and the KSO would be a good fit?
You know, I always want projects in my life. The project here is how can we inspire musicians to the next level of artistry, and how can we get the community involved in that process and be proud of having symphony orchestra here. And that has to do with the vision one leads with this organization. Now, music director is one of the leader, but music director is one of the puzzle that has to fit in with other pieces of puzzle. And that's with the community leaders and, you know, different people who actually makes difference in this community. And, you know, we all have to work together and then figure out what our next step is as Knoxville. And for me, you know, if I don't have anything to, you know, share with the musician of Knoxville Symphony Orchestra, then it's really not worthwhile. But I find that they're so much talented in this orchestra, and they're hungry for something. And I think we can really work together to find what it is that we have to aim for 5 years down the road, 10 years down the road, and then get people really excited about what's happening with the symphony orchestra. We have to get young people involved, and it's very difficult to get, you know, age of 25 through 45 involved with the orchestra. But, you know, a lot of musicians inside the orchestra are that age group. And, you know, we know what's going on, and we have to come up with some solutions about how to get them involved in it. And, you know, I am at 39 right now, and that's my age. And this is very important. This is part of my life that really I want to find solutions for it. And I want, you know, I want to see Knoxville Orchestra going outside of Knoxville as well, and be proud of what we can really offer as a artistic organization. So that's our next step.
Do you have any favorite moments in the upcoming concert that you'd like to share with us?
I try not to talk too much during the concert, but some things need to be explained. And I hate to start the concert by talking because I think the audience is there to really listen to music. But music of Chateaudrain, there's so much that's happening, and you just need to kind of get a heads up on it. So I would try to to get a simple explanation of what's happening with that music, so that people can see percussionists playing spoons and the brass player really, you know, getting their palm in their instruments and things like that, and lots of fun stuff going on. And it's just, you know, Tchaikovsky, on the other hand, is very traditional. It's such a big contrast between the first and second piece. And most unfamiliar piece to most of us, the Third Symphony of Rachmaninoff, is the masterwork of the concert. And I just can't wait to share that music with the audience. It's just, you know, I you know, there's the moment where you feel like a little buzz in your back of your hair or something like that, that you, when you get inspired by it, that's how it's going to feel at the end of that concert. Oh, wow, it's what an experience that was. That's how I want the audience to just go home with. So it's a concert not to miss.
Well, we won't miss it. So, great. Z, thank you so much for stopping in and chatting with us today.
Absolutely, my pleasure.
Shizuo Z. Kuwahara. He is the guest conductor at this week's Knoxville Symphony Orchestra concerts. He'll be leading the ensemble in three works: Shedrin's Concerto for Orchestra No. 1, Naughty Limericks; Tchaikovsky's Piano Concerto No. 1, which also features guest pianist Stuart Goodyear; and Rachmaninoff's Symphony No. 3. The concerts are Thursday, November 19th at 7:30 p.m. and Friday, November 20th at 7:30 p.m. Both are at the Tennessee Theater. Tickets and more information can be found at knoxvillesymphony.com or by phone 865-291-3310.